Tabernacle Family Church. We are in here 2022. It is the first Sunday of the year 2022. And I just want to see people come on and run to the altar to be able to give God glory that we made it to 2022. If you made it, come on and let me hear you shout real quick. Alrighty, about three or four of y'all made it to 2022. Come on, let's give God a shout for bringing us into 2022 in right health. Hallelujah. Come on and sing.
Time. We do have a guest reception over on that side of the building. It's in a nice little room. There's snacks, donuts, coffee, really great people to meet. So if you are a guest or if you brought a guest, please bring them over to the guest reception connection room. The staff would love to get to meet them today. Also, we have the prayer summit coming up starting next week. So next Sunday night at 6 p.m., we're all going to start right here. We're going to invite the other campuses to come join us for a night of prayer and worship and whatever else God leads us into. It's always a fantastic time. Then Monday through Wednesday, we will have corporate prayer at each campus starting at 7 p.m. every night, as well as at noon here during the week. And then we do offer a four-week class every Sunday at 9:30 a.m., a class that will help you discover more about God, yourself, and the church. It's called Discover Class. So if you are interested in learning more about His Tabernacle and who we are and what we believe, I strongly encourage you guys to come on out and join that class. It's led by some really awesome people. And then now let's get back into worship. Here we go.
Explain it, but I can't. Are we ready? Hallelujah! Ready? I got it in my hands, got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk, got it in my talk. Well, I got it in my hands, got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk, got it in my talk. Well, I
got it in my hands, got it in my feet.
Come on. Okay, I got to be honest with you. Is that all right? I'm cold. This is helping me. I want you to know how much we love you. When you see us in the parking lot, today you know your pastor loves you. Because I'm still cold. Amen? Here we go. I got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. Well, I got it in my hands.
Got it in my feet. Got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. Got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. I got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. I got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. I got it in my walk. I got it in my talk. I got it. I got it.
Come on and shout it. Something about.
Something about
that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it.
Last time, say, I got it.
I got it. I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost.
Give God a praise this morning.
Jesus was forsaken, so I will never be. His grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done. It is finished. Has won. He is risen. Grace is here. Love has triumphed over death forever. The cross is my beginning.
Come on, just declare it.
The line drawn in the sand.
The end of all my strife.
The end of all my strife. Now I am born again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus.
There Jesus was forsaken.
So I will never be.
Grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done, it is finished, Christ has won.
Hallelujah.
He is risen,
grace is here,
love is triumph.
Yeah. protection power
over every circumstance.
Over every circumstance. His word stands final and forever. It will not be shaken. He alone has won it all. Stronghold bowing to the Savior.
Run now! Resurrection run now! Stand up!
Over every circumstance.
Your word
stands final and forever. It will not be shaken. He alone has won it all.
It is done.
It is finished. Christ has won. He is risen. Grace is here. Love has triumphed over death. Forever it is done. It is finished. Christ has won. He is risen.
Forever He is glorified.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is healing a woman's right ovary right now in the name of Jesus. You have pain. It's not a constant pain, but it comes and it goes, and it's been a concern for you. So in the name of Jesus, I speak to the ovary, and I command you to be healthy and whole in Jesus' name. It's another individual. You have a weak right ankle. It's just, it's not broken. It's not, it's just constant. It feels weak all the time. God is strengthening that ankle right now in the name of Jesus. I command all the muscles, I command all the tendons, I command all portions to be healed in Jesus' name. Then someone's right shoulder on the inside near towards the next side. It's almost like you could draw a semicircle around that shoulder. God is restoring that in Jesus' name. I command right now all the muscle to be made whole by the power of God in the name of Jesus. That person with your ankle, you need to start moving that right now. Start moving it. Start moving it right now. God's healing you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you care so much about us, that, Father, no matter what our needs are, you're always there. Jesus, you didn't overcome from that grave just so that we could have eternal life. You resurrected from that grave that we could have the covenant. That is that by your stripes we were healed. So God, today in Jesus' name, we apprehend, we ascertain, we lay hold of our covenant right in miracles and signs and wonders. Lord, there are folks that have been carrying disease in this room. Lord, I speak right now to diabetes, and I command right now for the organs to work properly in the name of Jesus to dispel the correct amount. Lord God, that thou will balance out right here in this room. Father, I thank you, God, also. You showed me earlier there are people that have made a New Year's resolution to be delivered from alcohol and cigarettes and addictions. God, I thank you that today in your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your presence is deliverance. I bind the spirit of alcohol in the name of Jesus. You foul demon spirit that has brought them into captivity, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I loose the anointing right now to set the captives free. God, those with cigarettes and even weed and other drugs, God, I just bind that devil. Lord, I demand in Jesus' name that that spirit does not have a right to lay hold of your child. And you are now being evicted in the name of Jesus. So God, I thank you that today is a monumental day in our lives, a transitional day in our lives. Someone's right hip is being healed right now in Jesus' name. Start moving it right now. Start moving it. God's healing you right now where you are. God, I just thank you. I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are true. I thank you that you are a God. If you'll heal one, you'll heal us all. Somebody else having problems, all on the right side today is where I got you. I call it a hitch in your giddy up. It's right here. In Jesus' name, I speak strength right now to the muscle. I speak strength right now, God, in Jesus' name, to the tendons. I speak strength right now into the bones. Lord, I command the hydration of the discs right now by the power of Jesus' name. And God, I command that body to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, you love us. Thank you that every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. And if we as earthly people know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more do you want to bless your children? So God, we receive right now where we are. Lord, I pray for those watching by live stream in the name of Jesus. Lord, all over the world, they're tuned in. Lord, I release the power of heaven, that anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage, right now through their computer. Set them free in Jesus' name. God, you've got great plans for us this year. Lord, we refuse to be held down by one thing of the enemy. We are going to run this race, and we're going to run it strong. We're going to run this race, and we are not going to be in any way, shape, or form hindered by the devil. God, we're going to run this race to win in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling some of you as you look back over 21 and you've seen that you have backslidden. He's calling you back to consecration this morning. You've given up your ministries. You've given up your prayer time with God in the mornings. You'll throw a little verse down your throat. It's almost like taking a piece of candy. You're just trying to get the shot of sugar. But God is asking you to reestablish your relationship with Him today. God is calling you to a place of repentance. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'll respond. Because if God is calling it, He's got a reason. Not just because He loves you, but sometimes it's a warning factor. You might not have as much time as you think you got. And without Christ, He will not be able to stop the enemy from taking your life. So in the name of Jesus, I pray repentance in their life. Pray God they'll fall to their knees and they'll call upon the name of the Lord. That Jesus, they'll call on you like they used to. That God, they'll be realigned with heaven. That Jesus, they'll again be right with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As you know, as you can tell, we haven't been doing meet and greet for a little bit, mainly because some folks are, the variants going around, and we're not concerned about the variant, but not everybody has the same faith level you have. Say amen. So just out of honor and respect, I'm gladly toting a beautiful jacket today. How do you like my jacket? You like my jacket? This jacket should have stopped being worn in September, but I say nay, saith the Lord. It reminds me of Harley weather, so I'm going to keep wearing my pastels all winter long because I need to ride the Harley Davidson, and it just reminds me. I'm using it as seed for the glory of God. Please welcome Pastor Cody Spencer.
Man, anybody still tired from New Year's Eve? Just me. All right. Hey, yo. I just believe that a lot of people would look at their finances and say, I want to be more blessed. Is that you? Did you write any financial goals this year? I would hope that you have some goals in every area of your life. But I believe that when we look at our own lives, we want to be blessed. All right. Three people want to be blessed. Pastor, this is scary. That we would like to have more so we could do more for other people, so we could do more for the kingdom, so we could provide greater for our families, inheritance for our children. We could go through the list. We've been trying to teach Pastor about leaving an inheritance for his children. But when we look at this, I think that so many people have a funny view of money in the church. And I say this almost every time I take the offering. A lot of people have a weird view of money in the church. They would think that the goal of the church is to get money from you. But I would actually disagree with that. My goal is to see your life blessed. I want to see you blessed just as much as you want to see you blessed. And you know, there are some churches that probably just want your money. They'll take your membership and they'll kick you out if you don't give your tithes. But the great thing about here is you don't have to give a dollar. You don't have to serve. You don't have to do anything to sit in these chairs and hear the gospel. But I do want to let you know, if you want to be blessed, then it's going to take action on your side. And if you want this year your finances to increase, then every area of our life needs to have obedience to God. It's simple. If you want to be saved, it requires obedience. If you want to be healed, it requires faith. If you want to see increase, it requires giving. And if we look at Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 through 22, it's talking about Jacob, and it said, Jacob made a vow. Man, I would encourage you not to just make a goal, but to make a vow to God this year. If God will be with me and keep me on this journey that I take, and give me food to eat and garments to wear, and return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone which I've set up as a memorial stone will be God's house. And then he said this, he said, and of everything that you give me, I will assuredly give you a tenth. You know, we teach a tithe here, not because the church wants more, but because we want to see you blessed. You know, I'll say this, and Pastor, I think, cringes sometimes. But there was a man of God in Nigeria, Bishop David Oyedepo, and he said, nobody in this building could give a dollar today and the Lord would still pay his bills. You know, I firmly believe that God would still fund his house, that everything would be taken care of. But honestly, the tithe is not for the church. The tithe is for you. To show obedience that we trust God, because here's what we've come to know. What I refuse to give God, I hold above God. But what I give God, I show him that I have faith in. You know, you think about putting faith into something. Farmers every spring have faith that the ground is going to give them something back. And I would encourage you, I would challenge you that this year in 2022, that you don't just make a financial goal, but you make a vow to God that I'm going to trust you, that I'm as I'm obedient in my tithes and my offerings, that I'll see blessing coming back to my life, that I'll see increase in my life, that the tithe isn't just for the church, but the tithe is to see increase in my own life. And I trust God in every single area, just like Jacob did. He said, God, if you give me safety, God, if you give me clothes, if you give me food, I'll give you a tenth of it back. And that God wants to see you blessed, and I want to see you blessed, and the church wants to see you blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, we don't just pass a bucket here. We actually bring our tithe and our offering to the Lord. And I want to encourage you, in the back of your seat or on your chair, there's an envelope. You can fill out the envelope. You can do text to give, which is right here on the screen, or you can go online to histabernacle.com. And click the give button. But if you want to be blessed, not just with salvation, not just with joy, not just with peace, but you want to be blessed financially, I would encourage you this year to make a vow like Jacob did, that I'll give you a tenth of everything I received from you. Amen? Amen. We're going to give this morning. You can go ahead and stand to your feet. Alan Sanford, who just got married yesterday, is going to walk us through our supernatural proclamation, which we find in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Will you put your hands together real quick, because Alan got married? Now, will you repeat this with us as we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord?
If I obey, I am blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead and give your offering.
If you're giving online or watching online today, we want to say thank you. And stick with us for the rest of the service. It's going to be a phenomenal Sunday.
Don't you like that song? That's a good song. Who wrote that? Pastor Tim wrote that. Very good. Pastor Tim wrote that. The Bible actually wrote it. He put it into words. Amen. I don't know about you. I just love that the Word of God is alive and real. I don't understand people. I don't understand the people of the world. It's not that I've always served God, but I don't understand how the people of the world can live without Jesus. I don't understand how they can live without knowing that there is somebody that actually cares for them and is praying for them and is for them and not against them. I can't fathom how they live a day-by-day basis on their own abilities and their own strength, knowing that literally they have no power. Literally. You figure there's not one human being on this planet that knows what you're going to be doing tomorrow. You assume, but you don't know. So I just want to thank God that He is a good God, amen? And He is greatly to be praised. He is a faithful God. He is an honorable God, and we love Him so very much, amen? Last year, oh my goodness, did you hear me just say that? Last year was 2021, which was the year of change forward. Our verse for the year was, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That was our verse. And you see, many people, I love this. I said this on Friday night. And that is, have you ever heard the verse that said, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge"? And many people just say, "Well, I don't understand, you know, the lack of knowledge. God, can you give us knowledge?" But that's not what the verse, when you start looking at it, was talking about at all. What it actually was showing is that the people were not listening to the prophetic voice. God was prophesying, and the reason they didn't have knowledge was because they weren't listening to the prophets. You see, whether we like it or not, God always reveals it to the prophet first. And here we have, not that I'm a prophet, but I move in the apostolic anointing. And every year, God gives us a prophetic message that He's going to hammer home for the whole year. 2021 is already gone. We can never go back. We can never relive it. We can never lay hold of it. All we can do is look back and ask ourselves a question. Did I really allow 2021, the year of change forward, to be that for my life? Was God's prophetic word allowed to work in my life? Many people will have to say no. Many people will have to say, "No, I just went to church," or "I went when it was convenient for me," or "I went when everything was working on my side," or "when I felt that everything was good. I liked God this week, so I went to church this week," or, "You know, I liked God better than my bed this week, so I got out of bed." But here we have a group of folks that are sitting here today and watching online, will be coming to second service, and those that came on Friday night, we have the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. And this is important. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, what we need to grasp is that the Spirit of God is constantly moving. God is constantly moving forward. So when you don't hear the word of the Lord, when you don't hear the word of the Lord, someone's having pain on your left, just right here is pain. In the name of Jesus, I just rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, I command healing to come right now. When we don't listen to the prophetic word of God, then what ends up happening is the only words you have is yours. That should scare the hell out of you. If the only word you got is yours, you should be scared. Because how many words that you give are bad? Come on now. How many words do we speak as humans that are not lined up with the word of the Lord? I'm talking that being the scripture. So when it comes time for the word of the Lord, you can't take it as, "Yeah, the pastor's preaching another message." This is God speaking to me to direct me, to put me on a path for the 2022 season that if I stay on this, then God's blessing is going to be on my life. Now, I want you to know something. I changed forward in 2021. Not all change is comfortable. Not all change is exciting. It didn't say 2021, the prophetic message was, change forward in happiness. Amen. It said change forward, which means there are things that God was going to extract from our lives, which means there were messages and things that we had to be taught in our lives. things that we needed to learn about Christ in our lives, and things that we needed to extract from our own lives. But I look back over 2021, and I can declare without any reservation, I am not the same man that I was, and everybody should be saying amen. Now, why should everybody say amen? Because my goal is to please the Lord. But when you change, other people change. When you hear the word of the Lord and you obey the word of the Lord, then other people are going to benefit from the changes that you make in your life. You see, no one is an island to themselves. You are either leading people to Christ or away from Christ. You are either leading people to Christ or away from Christ. The devil wants you to feel insignificant. That is a lie from hell. God needs your life or you wouldn't be breathing. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Why? Because we have purpose and design and God has a plan for you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So when I stand up here and I say in the first of the year, I'm not interested in a gimmick. Listen, I'm going to say this again. I did not want to go into the ministry. I did not want to be a pastor. I had no desire to be. My sister's here, she can testify. I had no desire to be a pastor. In fact, I barely served God until March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31 in the morning. That was the first time that I really sold out to God. I went to the Bible school campus only to get out of school that day. Because, you know, you go visit a campus, you get out of school that day. That's the only reason I went. Then I had a problem when I put my foot on the ground in Barrington, Rhode Island. Excuse me, at that point, East Providence. The moment I put my foot on the ground, I knew I belonged there. I did everything to say no. My senior year of high school, I tried to join the Marines. I got two other guys to join with me. My birthday was April 2nd. The day of the signing was before April 2nd. The other two guys were allowed to sign. My father had to sign for me. And my father said, no, you will never do that. I was mad, and those other two guys were mad too. But I was mad because I wanted to do that. And when I realized that wasn't going to work, then I decided, well, I was going to be a game warden. So I was going to go to college in Orno, which is the University of Maine, that had a specified degree track to be a game warden. That was my goal in life. That's what I wanted, to run around in the woods. I wanted to, you know, arrest people. Yeah, it was going to be fun. I wanted all that stuff. But man, even though I wanted that, that didn't work either. And I finally came to the reservation that I needed to go to Bible school because everything else shut down and because I had a visitation from an angel. My father and I were painting Phillips Memorial School that summer. And as we were painting the school, I was inside the first grade classroom. My father was outside on a ladder. He was painting from the outside. I was painting from the inside. There was a young man visiting his parents from California. And he was out in the playground. He was 11 or 12 years old. He had no spiritual background. His parents were not born again. And here my dad had to go get some more paint. So he got down and drove away. When he drove away, a man pulled up in a car that I had never seen before. He walked over, climbed up the ladder, said, "Hi, Michael, how are you?" And I said, "Good. Who are you?" He goes, "Well, I know your whole family." I said, "Okay." He says, "I know your dad, Butch. I know your Ma Janet. I know your grandfather." And he started naming names. I'd never seen him a day in my life. I had no clue who he was. And he goes, "Just wanted you to know I was thinking about you." Climbed back down the ladder, got in his car, drove away. My dad came back. I looked at him and said, "An old man just came." And he said this. He says, "I don't know who you're talking about." He said, "I've never seen a man like that before." And then that little boy came around the corner, and he looked at me and he goes, "You know what? That could have been an angel, you know. I think I'm going to Bible school." But I want you to realize this, that if I had not gone to Bible school, there would not be a church in this field. You would not be sitting in the seat you're sitting. Some of you would still be going to hell. Say amen or oh my. You see, your life is significant. Your life is significant. Hearing the word of the Lord is not just coming to church on the first Sunday or on New Year's Eve. It's saying, God, my life is significant. I need to know the direction you will have for me for 2022 so that my life will transform those that you're going to have me connect with, because without me, listen now, without you, people are not going to heaven. Turn to the person next to you and say, without you, serving God, people are not going to heaven. This is serious. Well, God can use an ass. Well, that's why he's called us. Amen. The fact is that God did not want to use a donkey that day. If Balaam had a brain in his head, he could have seen what the angel was going to see. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned for some of you. I want to drag you, shake you. I want to be a dad. I want to run up and do that shake. Pow! With my cowboy boot on. Because I've watched you, I've watched your relationship with God delineate. Don't tell me, Pastor, you don't know my heart. I know your actions, which show your heart. The fruit on the tree always dispels what's actually in, come on now, what's in the trunk. We need to make sure that in 2022, we're not playing a religious game. Jesus is coming. Just because I haven't said that in a few weeks doesn't mean he's not coming any less. Jesus is coming. He's coming very soon. The world is aligned for Christ. There's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ cracks the eastern sky. The rapture can happen today. And watch, if the rapture happened today, how easily it would be for the world to go under quarantine because of the mass alien abductions. Have you been noticing all the alien stuff now being all over the news, all over YouTube? Aliens being seen all over in Los Angeles, all being seen all over California, all over the place. We're hearing it all over again. Why? Because we're being set up. Why are we being set up? Because Jesus is coming, and the world is going to need to receive the Antichrist. But they'll never receive the Antichrist if they're not prepared. And they are prepared. They just don't know it. And the problem is the church should be prepared, but the church, come on now, I've got nothing else to say. We've got to take what we're doing serious. And the word of the Lord to me is serious. I don't mind that the staff plays with the terminology to make it sound better. But for me, the theme, the prophetic design of God for the year is everything. My whole life literally encircles every message that I preach. And I don't get them from books. I get on my face. I hear from the Lord. God, what do you want to tell your people? How do you want to tell your people? What do you want to say to your people? And I feel that today it is a two main force. And number one, the number one is the warning to those that are in backslidden condition. And then the number two is, come on now, let's run this race to win. Let's get in this thing that God has going. Let's make sure we're hearing the word of the Lord, because God's got a place and God has people that he wants to save this year, and he can't save them unless the church becomes the church, unless the church arises, unless the church is filled with the Holy Ghost, unless the church is moving in the power of God. God cannot save people without you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The theme for the new year, the prophetic word that God gave me for the new year, is called Built Different. 2022, God wants to bring revelation knowledge to your spirit. He wants you to have an apocalypse. What is an apocalypse? If I took a bust or a painting or some kind of whatever, cover it with a sheet and pull it off, the pulling off is called apocalypse. It is the revealing of what is under the underside. And God wants to do an apocalypse, not just with where he's taking the church, but with you. That if you and I do not understand that we are built different, then we will live the same way the world lives. You see, you have been built different. You have been built different because you have a different family. You have a different father. You have different laws. You live a different lifestyle. You have a different power. And you have a different purpose. When the church doesn't understand that we're built differently, then why would the world want what the church has? I felt like I emptied a Baptist church this morning. Glory to God. We have got to have this revelation knowledge. You have a different father. Some of you grew up with bad dads. Some of you grew up with fathers that were cruel and crass and mean or simply abandoned you. And you don't realize you live out of that hurt from the past, but God is saying that this year you're going to be built different. God's going to come in and restore and rebuild and rejuvenate and renovate that portion of your heart that has always held you back. You see, you've got to know you're part of a different family. I love my blood family, but my church family, the family of God, is close to me. Why? Because you are my family that I'm going to spend the rest of eternity with. You've got a different family. Some of you have been rejected by your family. Some of you have been rejected by your children. Some of you have been rejected by your parents. Some of you have been rejected by your friends. God wants you to know you got a family that is sure. And until that renovation happens, you're always leaning upon the last, come on now, the last emotion of rejection. You live by different laws. The law of death. Or the law of life in Christ Jesus. We have really so alive within us because Christ is not dead. Well, that's the revelation that some of you need to get. Some of you got Jesus dead again. You got him dead in his grave all over again by how you're living, by how you're acting, by how your relationship is with him. God is saying it's time for a resurrection in your life. You've been built differently, and God wants to bring you back to the laws of life in Christ Jesus. He wants to bring you back to your lifestyle that is holy. Can I hear an amen? Say, God has called me to be holy. God has given us a different power. We're not leaning upon the arm of flesh, for some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. We have been built differently. You are not the same as the people from the world. Somebody said to me, well, my friend came up to me and said, oh, you're a Christian now. You better than me? And they said, well, no. And I wanted to say, oh, yes, yes, yes. I am better than you. What do you mean? That's kind of arrogant, isn't it? No, not arrogant at all. I got the one who created heavens and earth dwelling inside of me. Yes, I'm better, not because I'm a better of myself, but because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Therefore, I don't live the same way. I don't act the same way. I don't speak the same way. I don't think the same way, because the master, the creator, the one who built me, for I am his workmanship, created in good works for Christ. Do you know the word workmanship actually means piece of art? You're God's piece of art. Our verse for the year is twofold. I'm going to start off with this one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and it says this. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens. You know, it's really big these days. The borders. Got to keep the borders closed. That's big. Making sure, and I saw something, you know, I'm not a political pastor, but I saw something that really bothered me was when New York City was willing to give all of the foreigners, all of the people that were not citizens, the right to vote. Because the most powerful privilege of any citizen is the ability to vote. That is the most powerful thing that you have, is that you have a voice. When the voice is eliminated, then no longer are you a nation that is controlled by the people. It is controlled by only one. Now, this is where it is a scary thing. For the worst thing that could ever happen to an individual is having their citizenship revoked. Because the rights of a citizen, we know as the United States, come on, you heard it when I preached that whole year on kingdom. When you pull out the Constitution of the United States, you can carry that around all you want, but if you're not a citizen, you don't have the rights to it. As a citizen, we have rights. As citizens, we have position. As citizens, we have posture. You are no longer strangers, which means we live by the principles of heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, comes through you and me, and you and me. The laws of life in Christ Jesus are the word of God. The covenant that we have that Christ had cut is the word of the Lord. We are not weak people. We are powerful people, but we cannot be powerful people if we don't understand that we've been built different from the rest of the people of the world. And until we recognize it, then we're going to just say we're just like everybody else. But you're not just like everybody else, or you'd have died when you got saved and gone to heaven. But you have not, because God has called you to be an ambassador from another country. And that country is the country called heaven. And he's called you here to represent the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not in word only, but also in power. You've got a power that's beyond what a regular man has. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells inside of you. You've been built different. You are not an alien or a foreigner. But you are a citizen with the saints and members of the household of God. You know, I've found over my many years of ministry, visiting many homes, every home has a different smell. You ever notice that? You go to some people's homes, and I went to this one home in Pennsylvania when I was a youth pastor down there. I remember going to the front door and knocking, and I heard the little dogs yipping, and I said to myself, this is going to be fun. And so they opened the door. Pastor, come on in. I came in, and their front entryway was dirt. You know, I don't care what someone's house looks like. But all of a sudden, I started seeing little piles of fecal matter all over the floor. And then I walked into the kitchen, and there was more poop all over the floor. And I recognized as the dog bit me, and I tried to punt it, but it was too fast, that the aroma of the home was stifling. I did everything to get out quickly because the aroma was so pungent that I had to literally breathe only through my mouth. And at times you could almost, and I know it was just because of my brain, but at times I felt that I could taste the smell of the fecal matter. I need a drink. Then I remember the Ingman's house. I remember walking in, they were our youth pastors, and to this day, I can't drive to their house. I can't remember how to get there. I can't tell you what color the exterior of their house was, but I know this, is that when I walked into that house, I could smell smells that Amy was creating, and she created an apple pie, Jesus, and fresh coffee. Whenever you walked into the Ingman's house, you could always smell apple pie and fresh coffee brewing. And see, today, I don't remember all the other stuff, but I do remember the smell. And I want you to recognize that every individual, every believer, because you are the house of the Most High God, every house has a smell. And whether you're going to be pungent or whether you're going to be alluring has nothing to do with God. That has to do with how close you are, because you and I are supposed to be a sweet smell and savor under the very nostrils of heaven. And God has called us to live higher because we've been built different and we are called to live the life of Christ. Can I hear an amen? What does your house smell like? When people get around you, what do they smell? Do they smell beer? You ever get around somebody who smells like beer? Remember one time, we used to have church on a Saturday night. We used to have church on a Saturday night down in the square. And I remember one night, three people came in. I knew the lady, but I didn't know the other two people. And they came in, and wow, I think they drained the bar. I mean, it wasn't like a slight scent of alcohol. It was so abrupt and so in the face that if you sat rows away, you knew they just came from the bar. And they had just come from the bar. And they had just come, and I won't go into all the rest of the details of what they had been doing that evening. They came in, and I was like, wow. But that night, all three of them gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God changed the aroma of the house. Can I hear an amen? God wants to change the aroma of your house. Some of you have been meandering and playing and pandering with the things of the devil, thinking that it doesn't make you smell. It makes you smell. And the world is not drawn to the smell that they have. They're drawn to something beautiful. Can I hear an amen? The second verse is Galatians 6:10. So then we have opportunity to let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The devil just wants you to believe that you're like everybody else. If the devil can get you to believe you're like everybody else, then guess what? You'll never make a difference. Not only that is, your God esteem will never be seated in your life. I am nothing without Christ. I will make no eternal dent unless Christ is the Lord of my life. In him we live and move and have our being. Christ is my all and in my all. But you see, the enemy just wants you to think that you're just a loser. The enemy wants you to think that you're just barely making it by. The enemy wants you to think that you have no purpose and no design. The enemy wants you to think that you just got so many problems that it does not matter and nobody wants the God you have. I'm here to tell you today, if the devil can get you to believe that you have not been built different, then you will act the same. But when you actually believe who you are, come on now, when you actually believe who you are, you walk different, talk different, live different, act different, speak different. Listen, I've been around the world a few times, and what I have found was I've been in rich circles and I've been in poor circles. I've been in the middle class section of life. I've been all through it, and I've been not to the top end yet, but I'm heading there, writing more books, believing God for more blessing. I said to God this morning, Lord, I want to be so blessed, I got to make up new stories. So here we are, I've learned something. People act different for who they believe they are. I've watched poor people. Everyone says the rich people are selfish. I've watched more people, poor people be selfish than rich people. Because they're so desperate to keep what they got, they don't share with anybody else. Just got to say that. But I've watched poor people. And poor people are interesting because they don't even know how they're acting. Amen. They don't know how they're portraying themselves. They don't know how even they walk. Do you know that there's a difference between somebody who is wealthy and how they walk and somebody who is poor and how they walk? Listen, if you don't know that, you got to start studying. Because somebody that's poor is, well, you know, they're always like shaking their head. They're always slumped over a little bit. They're always struggling. This is just science. This isn't even rocket science. It's just science. You can go study body language. You can see this. When you study people that I remember Lou Lamphere taught me business. The Bible school taught me how to be successful with ministry. But Lou Lamphere taught me how to be successful in business. And a lot of people don't realize the church has two worlds. I've got to be a great pastor who knows God, who knows how to move in the Spirit, but I also have to be a business person because the IRS demands it, or I go to jail. Not interested. I'm too cute. When Lou Lamphere was training me how to be a business person, he brought me to the mall, and we were mall walkers. I was the youngest mall walker. Lou was a 42-year executive with Prudential, very, very, very successful. And he just walked me around and he said, see that person? They're a person of wealth. I said, how can you tell that? He said, number one, you see how they're holding their backs. You see how they walk. You see how they talk. Do you see what they're wearing? And he taught me how to identify. Now it's not, and I've been around rich kids, man. I was in a house not too long ago. The house is worth $8 million. Well, the children in the house didn't pay $8 million for the house. They're just in the house. But those kids have a different confidence level. They don't look at money the same way that poor people do. You talk $100 to a poor person, and that is like, woohoo! You talk $100 to somebody that's got an $8 million house, it's like $1.25. There's a mentality change. But with that, those kids in that $8 million house, no one had to sit down and say, this is how I want you to think. They believed how they thought. Why did they believe it? Because they were taught by their parents' example. They were taught by learning how to walk. They were taught by learning how to talk. Listen now, all those children under the age of 25 years old already own houses that are on an island that is worth a lot of money. How do they do that? Well, because simply they were taught that that was normal. My children all had houses. I remember Corinne was going for her first house at 18 years old. Why? We taught our kids it was normal to be blessed. That's why it always makes me chuckle when these people come after me about money. Listen, I've been poor. Baby, I had to eat. Listen, I made $10 a week full time in my first church. I've been poor and I've been blessed. I'll be blessed any day rather than poor. Say amen. Amen. If you're not there yet, you'll be saying it if you get there. Amen. Having something is better than having nothing. Because you can teach your kids different. Here's the problem with the church. The church over all these years have been taught by the church itself and by the world that if you go to church because you're weak and you need a crutch. You poor person, you need religion to stabilize your life. You need God? Why would you need God in your life? So for years and in schools and in colleges and most of many of your families, you were not brought up in a Christian home. You were brought up in a home where being a Christian was, well, I'm desperate now. The last person I got is God. And so the houses that have been built, even in the house of God, has been literally shacks. God's not called you to be a shack. I said, God's not called you to be a shack. No, no, no. I said, God's not called you to be a shack. God has called you to be blessed. Can I hear an amen? God has called, listen, I'm not talking about money. If you're still there, you got a problem. I mean that. If you still think I'm talking about money, you have a problem. You need to repent. Why do you need to repent? Because you have a problem with money. Money's just a circulation. God has called us to be built different, to be men and women of God, filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with power, not having our roofs falling down, not having our front door being nasty, but being men and women of God that when someone comes in our house, they can smell the presence of the Lord. When they talk to you, they know there's hope within the house. When they talk to you, they know there's reason within the house. When they talk to you, they know there's purpose in the house. When they talk to you, they know there's peace in the house. When they talk to you, they know that Jesus is in the house. How do we know that's possible? Remember the disciples? Man, they came, and Jesus, man, they got in trouble because they did the man at the gate beautiful, and they said, listen now, we can tell they have been with Jesus. Man, that's the smell of the house. That's the smell of the presence. That's the smell of the joy. That's the smell of the peace. It's time for the church to get back to understanding. We are not the same as the people of the world. We have been built different. We can't live their way. We can't think their way. We can't act their way. We have been built different. And in 2022, God is going to realign our lives. God's going to take, come on now, God's going to take down some of your rooms. God's going to put some additions on some of your houses. God, some of you need a new roof. God's going to put a new roof on your house. God's going to renovate your living room. Some of your marriages, he's going to renovate your bedroom. Your kids' rooms, he's going to renovate your babies. But until you and I recognize the word of the Lord, then it's just a nice little preacher standing up there preaching a nice little thing on a Sunday morning. But when you recognize that God has spoken, and this is the direction he's taken for this house, when you lay hold on that, you know this, your house will change. Some of you have had visitors in your house you don't want. You ever have somebody come to your house? They're just coming for a few days. A month goes by. Your whole life has changed because you have somebody in your house. Now, it's one thing to be hospitable. It's another thing to have an invader. It's one thing to be hospitable. It's another thing to have a squatter. And the issue is simple. The squatter ends up drawing away from the attention of the normal house. That's why some of you, I took a hold of alcoholism in the first part of this service. Why I took a hold of you, some of you drinking, you went back to booze, man. God rebuke you in Jesus' name. Going back to the devil's domain. Stay out of life like that. Yeah, you know, in the old days, you're just thanking Jesus you weren't born again in the old days. Those old-time preachers, they preached it. They told the church, you got to be holy. Say amen. You ever go into a house? I think I gave this example a few weeks ago. I had this family in the church, in my last church, and when you went into the house, I didn't go a lot. I love the Lord. I didn't go a lot, but when I walked in the front door of the house, there were newspapers stacked 6 feet high. All there was a path. And that path went to the sink. Then the path went to the dining room table where you could only have two chairs because the rest was stacked around it. When you looked in the living room, it was stacked high, the entire living room. And when you followed through, then there was a couch, and on the couch were cages of cats. The house smelled. I said to myself, this can't be healthy. I don't know why she saved all the old newspapers, because it was old news. but she allowed the old news to inhabit her now house, which cluttered it to a place where human living was barely possible. Come on now. You know it's God, because I didn't even think about talking about her. Nobody wants to go to that house. Some of you are so cluttered with your sin, so cluttered with your mind, so cluttered with your past, that you're unable or unwilling, I should say, to clean the house you're in now. I just want you to know you're the house of the Holy God. You're the household of faith. In him we live, come on now, and move. And we have our being in him. I already said that verse, but here we have. You got to recognize what that means. That in 2022, as we recognize that we are built different, we've got to recognize that we have got to change things in our home. Gave the example on Friday night. My wife and I went to St. Thomas on an excursion. So here we are in St. Thomas, and it was not too long after the hurricane had hit the island. And here we are as we're driving and we're at the resort, and the resort is beautiful and well-kept and gorgeous. But then we wanted to go to this sightseeing place on top of this mountain. I don't even know what it was, man. My wife wanted to go. Listen, the worst part about vacation with Pastor Rhonda, you don't vacation. You need a vacation when you get back from your vacation, because every minute of every day you're doing something. So we get in the vans. Now you need to know the roads in St. Thomas. By the way, they drive on the wrong side of the road. The road, no, they do not. I'm sorry, they don't. The roads are narrow where two vans riding alongside, it's easy to touch the mirrors. It's scary. So we're driving there, and as we're going up to the top of the mountain, I'm seeing all these shacks, all these old homes, all these tin roofs, all these places, some of them put together with cardboard. But they all had the most beautiful, ornate front doors. I said to myself, that is strange. And I finally asked, I said, why do they have ornate, solid wood front doors, but they live in a shack? They said because they don't have a lot and they want to show hospitality, so they always make their front door look really good while inside is not nice at all. Some of that's our lives. And this year, God's going to bring change to your life. I turn to someone and say, God's going to bring change to your life. Well, I think my house is just perfect. Really? Listen, your house might be nice, but your house can always get better. Listen, I remember buying our house on Palmer Road South in Big Flats. We lived there 18 years. We walked into that house, and I looked at the countertop, and it was that bright, nasty 1960s orange. Come on now. And that was a nice house. Hardwood floors all the way through it. All dinged and banged and mashed. The house was beautiful, though. It was the nicest house we had ever lived in. But I looked at my wife and said, we got to do something about that countertop because it reminds me of the years I was born. We ended up changing the entire kitchen. We laid hardwood floored from our dining room all the way to our kitchen. We were renovating the whole thing. I want you to recognize, no matter how nice your house is, there can always be a renovation to make it better. 2022, God's going to renovate you. Ooh, I just made that up. That sounded good. Someone needs to tweet that really quick. 2022, God's going to renovate you. He's going to change you from the inside out. Man, he's going to make you live the God kind of life if you'll allow it. You see, in this, God spiritually is going to structure your home, socially going to structure your home, materially structure your home, morally structure your home, passionately structure your home, focus, discipline, acceptance, and drive. God is going to change your house if you let him in the door. Not even in the notes, Jesus. Just enjoying myself. What do you mean, Pastor, letting him in the house? Remember the church of Laodicea? The church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, if you talk to most scholars, they believe it is a parallel of the now church before the rapture. If you're a dispensationalist, they believe that the church of Laodicea represents the church right now. That what I'm about to read is what the church is right now. And let's be real, once I read it, you're going to say, And the in verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. That means they were doing things in the church. That means they were busy in the church. That means they're doing nice things. I know your works. You are neither, but that you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need of nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed yourself with from the shame of your nakedness, you may not be that you might not see. And salve for your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here, this is the verse, ready? Behold, which means, hey, you, pay attention. Hey, behold. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. I want to remind you who he's talking to. He's talking to his church. Where's Jesus? Not in the church. He's outside the church. The church kicked Christ out. His own house he was not welcome in. He said, I'm knocking if you hear me. If you hear me, open the door. I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me, which means he's going to sit down and he's going to have koinonia. He's going to have fellowship. He's going to have relationship. But you see, this is where we're at today in the year 2022 and God's resurrection of his church to be not just people that go to a building, but to be men and women of God who are going to walk with a house that smells like heaven, that we are going to live like a house that lives like God. Man, some of you, you demand people to take your shoes off when they come to your house. You find it disrespectful for someone to walk around in your house with shoes on. Or better yet, you find it disrespectful when somebody walks into your house smoking a cigarette. And God is saying, I find things disrespectful too. I have rules too. I'm going to help you clean your house so when you come into my house, holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. If I've offended you today, thank God. If you're not offended, you're living right. If you are offended, thank God. Well, I don't come to church to be offended. I don't know. I do. I want God to change me. And your pastor is not sitting up there to, the Bible calls it itching ears, saying what you want to hear. I'm here to do one thing. Make sure that when you get to heaven, you can say, I was taught right, I live in right, I glorify God right, and I did works for you, Jesus. Because that preacher up there, he is a nag from heaven. He is such a nag. Every Sunday gets up there, you, come on, push, drive, come on. And I'll say, yeah. That's my voice. Just the holy nag. Why? Because I want you, when you get to heaven, him to look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 2022, built different. You are different. And thank God for it. Amen? Woo! Bow your heads with me this morning. This morning, if you're in the house, and you're finding that You're just not right with the Lord. Well, I don't want anybody to know. Who cares? See, that's the first problem. When you actually care what other people think. You ever go to a neighborhood and everyone's house is the same color? And they don't live in an HOA? They're just trying. Yeah, what was that movie? Deck the Halls? They're all trying to out-design each other's house or keep up with the Joneses. Man, someday you got to come to a place in your spiritual walk with God that you could care less what anybody else says or thinks. Because really, your walk with God is you and Jesus. Bam. And if you're not right with the Lord today, your house is not built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. For there is no other foundation in which man can lay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, than that which is Christ. If you're not sure when you take your last breath you're going to go to heaven, today you can start building a brand new house. God loves to build houses, and he's good at it. Today, if you're not right with Jesus, you want to get right with God. You want to start building upon Jesus. You want to start building a better house. You want to get right with Jesus. Slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're going to have, the best construction worker you could ever hire, and he's always free. Is there anyone here? Thank you. Put your hand right back down, honey. Anybody else? Come on. Five. Come on. Put your hand up. Five. Four. Three. Two. Last call. I don't know about you, man. I choose not to live in the shack built by your hands. I want to live in the house built by heaven's hands. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. You, listen now, you're going to love this year. We're already planned out 6 months. It is going to be awesome. Very exciting. I'm so excited. Woo! As you can tell, I can preach myself happy. I don't really need everybody else. I can preach myself happy. My danger is getting away from the notes, because then I can preach a long time. Mindy's right over here right after service. If you raise your hand or did not raise your hand, but you want to get right with God, Mindy's right here. We'll pray with you. Come on now, let's start the building right. Amen. Let's start 2022 correct. That Jesus is the master builder. We are his art. We are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus. And if he started the house, if you'll let the contractor stay, he'll finish the house. Amen? Father, I just speak blessing right now in Jesus' name. I declare over this prophetic word, I declare, God, over this prophetic direction for 2022, that those, Jesus, who will have the tenacity, those, God, will have the consistency, those, God, who will allow you to meddle and start rebuilding and changing and developing, that, God, at the end of this year, will be changed people for your glory. Lord, that's if you last that long. Jesus, if you tarry to the end of 2022, we want you to say to us, that's my house built by my hands. That's my art. That's my design. That's my child. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Right around the front of the altar, the prayer team's going to be here. If I could have the prayer team come. If you need healing in your body, you need someone to pray and agree with something going on in your life, you don't have to do it alone. The prayer team will lay hands. The anointing of God that destroys every yoke of bondage will come on your life and set you free.
Something about that Holy Ghost, I can't explain it, but I got it.
Ooh.
I got it.